Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. I give reverence to God, who is my life, and to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to each one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so delighted tonight to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God. I just give him praise today. I give him glory. I magnify his name on tonight. I thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For he is worthy to be praised today. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Hallelujah. And he's so worthy. God is so worthy to be praised. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion, and then we'll go right into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Wait just one second. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth. Wherefore shall the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He have done whatsoever he have pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouth, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them like unto them, so is everyone that trusted in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord have been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth have he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I have just read you Psalms 115 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. What is, okay.
When he breaks you, he doesn't destroy you. He does it with grace. Anybody been gracefully broken? Thank you. So, Father, tonight we're broken before you. Thank you for handling us with grace. Just let your worship right there in this moment.
Come on, baby.
is going on?
Well, I'm not gonna wait. Taking too long.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come confessing tonight and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we just come thanking you and praising you for another opportunity to study together, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you right now to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to your people on tonight, God. Father, open up our understanding, God. Open up our minds and our hearts in the name of Jesus, that we may receive your word, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you, Father. In the name of Jesus, just have your way, God. Take over and take control. In Jesus' name and for your glory, amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen. So we're in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13. Chapter 13 and 14 is tonight. Amen.
1 Samuel, chapter 13. Samuel reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah and Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all of the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." All Israel heard, save that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after
Hello? Wait a minute. A call dropped. Just give her a minute. She'll call back in. Oh, there she is.
Four calls. I apologize. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgad. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth-Heaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for a people were distressed, when the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits, and some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgad, and all the people following him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I knew that the people were scattered from me, and that thou came not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. And Samuel arose and got up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were presented with him about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah and unto the land of Shulah. And another company turned the way to Bethron, and another company turned to the way of the border that looked to the valley of Gibeon towards the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all of the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattock and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen their gods. So it came to pass in that day of battle that there were neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. That's the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Chapter 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young men that bear his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other, told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost parts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Magron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ishbosheth brother, the son of Phinehas, and the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Phinehas. The forefront of the one was Sit-Ut, northward over against Mishmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hands. And this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrew come forth out of the holes where they hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto the armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord have delivered them into our hands, into the hands of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within as it were a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Okay. And there was trembling in the host and in the field and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul, Gibeah of Benjamin, looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they have number, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer was not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Saul talked unto the priest that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thy hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round and about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites.
that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in the Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over until Beth-Aven. And the men of Israel were displeased that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on my enemies." So none of the people tasted any food, and all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath, wherefore he put forth the end of the rod and was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed be the man that eateth any food this day.' And the people were faint." Said Jonathan, "My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how my eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint, and the people flew up on the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, 'Behold, the people sinned against the Lord in that they ate with the blood.' And he said, "Ye have sinned. Roll a great stone unto me this day." And Saul said, "Disperse yourselves among the people and say unto them, 'Bring me hither every man his ox and every man his sheep, and slay them here and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood.' And all the people brought every man his ox and him that night and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, 'Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them.' And they said, 'Do whatever seemeth good unto thee.' Then said the priest, 'Let us draw near hither unto God.' And Saul asked counsel of God, 'Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will thou deliver them unto the hands of Israel?' But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, 'Draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin have been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan, my son, he shall surely die.' But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, 'Be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan, my son, will be on the other side.' And the people said unto Saul, 'Do what seemeth good unto thee.' Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, 'Give a perfect lot.' And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, 'Cast lots between me and Jonathan, my son.' And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, 'Tell me what thou hast done.' And Jonathan told him and said, 'I did taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, and lo, I must die.' And Saul answered, 'God do so,
and move also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he did not, that he died not. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place, Israel, and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab and against the children of Ammon and against Edom and against the king of Dobah and against the Philistines. And whatsoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered a host and smote all the Amalekites of them that spoiled them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan and Ishuah and Melchishua, and the names of his two daughters were these. The name of the firstborn were Merab, and the name of the younger was Michal. And the name of Saul's wife was Ahinam, the daughter of Ahinaz. And the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. And Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the sons of Abiel. And they were sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man or any violent man, he took them unto him. Amen. Amen, y'all. That was long, but it was good. So let's get ready to answer these questions. Oh, okay. Chapter 13. What was Saul's sacrifice? Why was Saul's sacrifice unlawful? Why was it unlawful? Okay. It was unlawful because it's like he wasn't really trusting in God or have patience with God, because, you know, God moved by his own timing and he do things by the Spirit of God. So he wasn't really trusting in what God was saying. And so he turned around and took matters into his own hands instead of waiting on what on God. That's why it's so important that that's what we do. When we ask God to do something or something like that, we're supposed to wait until he say and do. But Saul didn't wait for him. He tried to move in his own self, and you can't do that with God. So God didn't move for him. He didn't move for him, and it was unlawful for him to do that. Okay. Second question, who were the only ones of the Israelites who had weapons at this time? Who was the ones that had weapons?
Was it the Philistines? In chapter 20, no, verse 1?
It was, the Philistines had them, but Saul and Jonathan had weapons, but their men did not have them. See, the men, and let me see where it is. It might be right at the front, like, of chapter 13. Where is it? I think it was just Jonathan. It was Saul and Jonathan. See, because right here in verse 3, let me see, Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereunto 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gilgal of Benjamin. And the rest of them people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistine. He had to have a weapon then to smote the garrison that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. So I feel like, wait a minute, and all of Israel heard it say that Saul had smitten a garrison of Philistine, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistine, and the people were called together after Saul of Gilgal. So what they did was only Saul and Jonathan had weapons. That's how Jonathan smote the garrison, but his men and the people didn't. That's why they ran and hid, because they didn't have none to fight with. They didn't have none to fight with. But they had to fight, you know, they had to depend on Jonathan and Saul and Jonathan to do that. Because, you know, they had removed, the Philistines took all the blacksmiths from Israel. All the blacksmiths, was nobody there that could make them weapons, because the Philistines had took them all.
Okay.
Okay, chapter 14. In what was Jonathan's confidence to defeat the Philistines? What was his confidence in? I can find the verse. See, Jonathan trusted in God. He trusted in God. So, and God knew that Jonathan had confidence and trust in him. So, it's just like one of us. If we know what we know, and we know that God going to fight every battle. And in his word, he said he's going to fight our battle. He said that the battle don't belong to us, it belongs to him. Well, Jonathan knew he had, God had saved them many times before, the Israelites, and had brought them out of Egypt. Why wouldn't he have trust and confidence in him? He had it. He had trust and confidence in God enough to know he going to bring us out. If we don't have but two weapons, that's the place we got to get. If we don't have no weapons, God's going to move on our behalf. That's what we got to get. Guess where Jonathan was? I'm trying to find a verse or something to back it up in chapter 14, but it says, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man, that bear his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost parts of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree. That ain't what I want. And Jonathan said to the young man that bear his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, and that's it. That's it. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So that's what it was. It's like he said, I ain't put no limits on God. I ain't put none on. I ain't put no kind of restraint on God at all. So that's how we have to be. We can trust God for anything. We can trust God for anything. When we are able to do this, then God will move for us. And that's what Jonathan was saying. I ain't putting no restraints. Ain't no restraints on God. He can save us right now. He can do whatever he want to do right now. Okay. What was Saul's rash oath against his people? Y'all already know that. What was his oath against his people? Anybody know?
So was it to trust God with all thy heart, keep the commandments, and to trust
God? It's
24.
I think it's 24. It's verse 24. That's what he had. That's what he did. And he shouldn't have did that. He shouldn't have did that, because what he was saying, ain't nobody going to eat till we kill all these Philistines. These people ain't aiding, I don't know when. How they going to fight the strongest army on earth at that time? They were the strongest army in the strong, preparedest army that they had. They had big, strong men, and they trained. Them Philistines were trained. They from the tribe where them Goliath them was from. They had big men, and they was the best army. And he gonna tell Saul, gonna tell them, y'all don't touch what, not nothing to your mouth till you destroy these Philistines. And his son came back, and he didn't hear what his daddy said. What he did was bowed a vow or made an oath and said, don't nobody eat until this happens. Nobody. They was weak and tired. But Jonathan came, put the tip of his whatever it was in the tip and tasted it. And they told him, man, you weren't supposed to eat that. Your daddy said, couldn't nobody eat it. But did you hear what the word said? He was enlightened. His eyes was enlightened. So that honey made his blood sugar come back up, because his blood sugar was down so low. He didn't have no energy, no nothing. But when that honey tasted, he said, I was enlightened. And so, you know, on down, it said, Saul talking about, well, son, you surely going to die, because I sure said this and all that. Them people say he ain't going to surely die. He just won the battle for us. How is he going to die? God done blessed this man. He done trusted in God. He done put confidence in God. And you talking about he going to surely die? God ain't going to do that. He ain't finna surely die because you said this. Because you don't trust God to fight your battle. Jonathan trusts God. He said, well, God will do this. I ain't putting no restraints on God. God can save us. That's what we supposed to be saying from this pandemic and from all this other stuff. God can save us. But we put a limit on God all the time. We put a limit on God. We can't put no limit on God. Because if you put a limit on him, he ain't going to be able to move. But if he can move freely, if you let him. But we are our own worst enemy. Because we restrain God from moving. If we let God, if we just open up and let God, he'll do it. But we try to help him do some things. He had to be the one that put on Jonathan's heart to move like he moved. It was just two of them. He went in there and killed 20 men. Just two. But the word of God says one can put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. They did. Because that confidence they had in God. That Jonathan had in God, in the armor bearer was right there with him, saying, "Whatever you say, whatever you think, I'm right there with you."
So they went on. God used Jonathan to do it. That's the way we got to be, I'm telling y'all. Just like
don't
this.
Get the dog.
What'd you say, Ray?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So that's the way we got to do. That's the way we got to be, I'm telling you. I mean, it seems so unreal. But believe me, it's real, because God can do anything but fail. I'm just telling you, we got to get right where Jonathan was. Jonathan say, if we don't do something, he said, if we show ourselves to the garrison, maybe they'll call me and tell me to come up. And when they do, that'll be a sign for us. When that man called him and say, come up to us, that was God letting them know, go on up there. I'm gonna take care of this for you. And he went right up there. Jonathan killed 10, and the armor bearer can't kill 10. They killed 20 men, and that was the start of it right there. That was the start of it. But this is how we got to trust in the Lord. All our heart, and lean not to our own understanding. See, Saul was leaning to his own understanding. Saul went on and tried to do it, put it in his hand and do like he wanted to do. And if any man eat any of this honey, he going to die. Well, his son came right up and tasted it. Uh-huh. Came right up and tasted it. You can't do that. You can't do that. If you trust God, just trust God. Them men was tired and they was hungry, and you're going to make them work? That's just like making somebody work until they just fall out almost. Unhumane to make a person work without eating. But they weren't even working. They was fighting. They was using all their muscle and all their might. How can you whoop somebody or kill somebody or defend yourself and you can't even raise your arm up? You know they was dependent on the Lord. They was dependent on God. I mean, and then to go on down the line, I can't see good, child. Cataract doing something to me. But it was, and then before then, what's his name? Saul was trying to get him out there in the fight. And after Jonathan went up and they told him to come up, then after that, when the people saw this happening, Israelites, they got scared. They was trembling. They was trembling. And they said it was a great earthquake. The earthquake, it was a great trembling and an earthquake. That let them know God was still with them, because can't nobody make the earthquake but God? Nobody. Mm-hmm. And he was pleased with what they was doing. And then after that, the Philistines, I guess they got so shook up, they was killing each other men. Because, you know, it was some of them Hebrew men had went over to the Philistine half. And when they saw what Jonathan did, they turned on the Philistine and started killing on them. And then the men that was hiding up in Ephraim, up there where them Edomites at, when they was hiding in there, they come out fighting them and everything. So God made it possible for this thing to happen. That was a great war, and it was won because Jonathan had confidence and trust in the Lord. You got to have the trust in God. If you don't have trust in God, you may as well go sit down. I'm just telling you, you got to have to do anything. You got to trust God, especially something like that, especially something that you really need God. You really need God for everything. but something I didn't really get it where he said we would show ourselves to the uncircumcised. So, you know, because all the Israelites were circumcised. So those men, the Philistines, was uncircumcised. So they didn't have the favor of God anyway, because God wanted all them Israelites circumcised. All the Hebrews were circumcised. Every baby that boy that come in was. So, and when they did that, he said, as soon as they say, come up, he said, I'm coming up and you follow behind me. And the almond bearer did. And then that was a blessing, because just them two got did away with 20 men, and that started the battle of the end for the Philistines. Mm-hmm. Any comments, any questions? Because I got really happy about this, because I can see God's hand in it. I can see God's hand in this thing. But we got to trust God. Just got to trust him. Mm-hmm. And so, let me see what else I got for y'all. See, Saul started off, he gave the burnt offering to God. And then, the Philistine was trying to intimidate Saul. They were study trying to intimidate Saul, because everywhere he went, they were showing up. Because Saul had went up to Mishmash, and here we go. The main Philistine army came to Mishmash. So, you know, Saul left there. You know he did. And it says, before a battle, the priest gave sacrifices. So Saul did give sacrifice to God. And that was a blessing. And he was kind of afraid. And that's why I think he gave a sacrifice, because Saul was kind of afraid, because, like I said, the Philistine army is the best, was the best. They had trained, they trained them men, you know, day after day, they just training and training and training for battle. But the Israelites weren't training none. They didn't even have no weapons. So how they win the war, God? God. He said the battle don't belong to us. It belongs to him. If we just let him fight our battle, we'll win every time. But we don't let him fight our battle. We get out there ourselves, try to fight it. Yes, we do. Any comments? Any questions? Verses 12, 11, and 13 shows that Saul had been afraid of the situation, and that's he did. He acted foolishly. He did. He acted foolishly. And he felt like it seemed like he was guilty of something. You know, that's why he acted foolishly. And that's when Samuel was saying, man, what you doing? Why did you do that? But God gave Israel a king just like they wanted. And then he gave him Saul. Mm-hmm. Army was very small. I knew it was. Because, I mean, they had, it seemed like 300,000 or 30,000, whatever it was. That was small, because them Philistines had so many thousands. Just would wipe them out. But can't you just see God making them turn on each other and fight each other and kill each other? That's what they was doing. Can't nobody do that but God. They was killing each other in chapter 14. They was fighting each other. And I guess after the earthquake, maybe they was in shock. I don't know what happened. But I know the Israelites won that battle. Yes, they did, with the little bitty army that they had. Y'all better start studying so we can, because this is some good stuff, and you're not going to remember it if it's just me talking. You got to study this stuff. Over the first Samuel, the books of Samuel, they are very good. And we need to know this stuff because David coming up soon, him and Jonathan going to be best friends. And then David going to end up being king. So you're going to miss all of that if you don't study. Because you ain't going to keep nothing if I'm just sitting up saying it. You got to study for yourself to show yourself approved unto God. You need to know this stuff. So can't nobody tell you nothing. You know it already for yourself. You know, we got to do this. It's good to me. I'm telling you, I didn't have a lot of time to do nothing today, but I took time at 6 o'clock this morning. Instead of me going into prayer like I used to do, I went in and studied. I prayed a little bit, and I studied my word. Because that word is God. The word is God. That's what the Bible says. So that's why we got to learn. I mean, all I got going on, I'm still going to try to do what I can, you know, for the Lord. I got a lot going on, but I still got to do what I got to do. And I ain't one intend to come on here to teach it and then talk about it the whole hour, not by myself. You know, Ray help, Carla help, but we need to study to know. We have to study. I'm just saying, we need to study this word so we can have a blessed. How I'm going to invite somebody to the Bible class, and it ain't nothing but me talking. Everybody needs
you,
to participate.
You're right. I apologize, Apostle. I did not study today. I am so sorry about this.
That's okay. I'm just, you know, we just got to do better. And like I say, I know, you know, I had to get up early. I'd be sacrificing just so I could know what I'm talking about. You know, go over it and over it and read over it. That's why I know I can read through them 50 verses because I didn't read through them twice a day. You know, so, it's good because when you read it, you'll understand it better. You'll know what they're talking about, everything. I feel so blessed in my heart because I done read over this twice a day and then turn around and read it again. It's good, and it's going to stick with me. Can't nobody tell me nothing about it because it's going to stick with me because I studied. But sometimes, you know, we have things, and I know everybody has something going on. I really do, but we're going to get ready to get off of here because I don't want to. But on Tuesday, we will not have a live tomorrow because I'm going to be traveling. I might try to do it Friday morning if I can, if I'm situated where I can. Pray I'll do it. And I might try to preach on Sunday if I'm situated where I can. So it's the iffy thing the whole weekend. Even Monday morning, I will not be able to pray for sure. I won't be able to pray because I'll be traveling. But I try to do some Friday and maybe Sunday. I don't know. But I need everybody to be praying for traveling in grace and mercy for me. I will, you know, be keeping in touch with everybody. I'm not going to hold you any longer. I'm going to get off of here. I will be talking to everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, thank you for opening up our understanding, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. I ask you to cover their families, cover their homes and every vehicle today, God. Cover in the blood of Jesus, encamp angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, I just need you, God, and we need you today. And we just thank you for your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen. We have our Bible class on Tuesday
amen.
Of next week and Thursday of next week. Amen. God bless y'all. I love you. Y'all have a good night, okay?
Amen. God bless.
Love you.
Love you.
Good night.
God bless you. Love you.
Blessings. Love you all. Amen. Hello?